By now, everyone has heard of the Stop Online Piracy Act, SOPA, and the Protect Intellectual Property Act, PIPA. PIPA was the Senate version, and SOPA was the House version of these bills. These bills were introduced to increase the rights and protections for intellectual property holders and to prosecute those engaging in internet-facilitated infringement. To understand these bills and their controversial nature, it is important to understand the stakeholders for and against these bills, what their grievances are, and what could change if the bills become law. The stakeholders in support of these bills represent an interesting alliance between the film and recording industries and the pharmaceutical industry. While the film and recording industries are concerned about websites that grant access to their copyrighted music and video entertainment, pharmaceutical companies are concerned about sites that offer counterfeit drugs or more cheaply priced foreign drugs to American consumers. The stated focus of the bills is to protect against foreign infringement that occurs beyond the reach of American laws. The bills seek to achieve this end by expanding the range of parties that could be held accountable for infringement and by increasing the penalties for infringing acts. For example, under current law, copyrights are protected by the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, or DMCA. The DMCA requires copyright holders to police for infringement of their copyrights and to eliminate infringement through a notice and takedown process. This process requires intellectual property owners to provide notice to ISPs and others if they're hosting allegedly infringing content, and the ISPs have to then take down the infringing content. SOPA and PIPA expand accountability beyond ISPs to include search engines, advertisers, and payment providers who work with websites. IP rights holders may notify search engines, ad networks, and payment facilitators that a website they service is an infringing site. This triggers a requirement on the ad network or payment facilitator to either stop service to the site or to return a counter notification explaining how the website is not infringing. Even when such counter notification is provided, copyright holders may then sue to block the website. It is easy to see how such a provision can be used by copyright holders to overburden search engines, ad networks, and payment facilitators with notifications as a de facto method of shutting down innocent websites. The bills make the streaming of copyright content a criminal offense with penalties up to 5 years in prison. The civil remedies in SOPA and PIPA are directed against sites dedicated to the theft of U.S. property, but this term is defined quite broadly. Major internet companies like Google, Amazon, Twitter, and Facebook protested these bills. Their sites are all platforms for user-generated content, and they insist that SOPA and PIPA will open them up to liability resulting from their users' uploads. Not long ago, Viacom went after YouTube, and the record companies went after the cloud technology now offered by Amazon and Apple under the current DMCA regime. Internet companies are concerned that the passage of SOPA will inevitably result in new lawsuits from the entertainment industry that may even succeed. Their opposition is strong, and they have threatened to go nuclear, blacking out their sites simultaneously in protest. These tactics work for Wikipedia and other participants in the blackout, resulting in an outcry against SOPA and PIPA and sending legislators back to the drawing board. Internet service providers, ISPs, are increasingly becoming the favorite choke point for lawmakers, and ISPs are being asked to do a lot: protect intellectual property, create a secure domain name system, and help authenticate smartphones, just to name a few. It'll be interesting to see how the responsibilities of ISPs will be defined in the near future as Congress continues to consider new legislation regulating the internet. I'm Jake Hazen.